Welcome to another episode of the Marriage Mentor Podcast with Eric and Jolene Engel, where Eric and Jolene answer marriage questions for believers, looking at the root of the problem instead of the symptom, always while applying God's wisdom and word for a Christ-centered marriage.
Okay, it's time to wake up because we have another episode of the Marriage Mentor Podcast. I'm Eric Engel. I'm right here with my gorgeous, fantastically talented wife. Why are you laughing? Jolene Engel. Anyway.
Just all your antics.
We have a guy who has called in this time. What's his name and what's it all about?
We're going to hear from him in a second. And he is obviously looking to get some answers on his marriage. And this is what he has to say.
Hello, Jolene. This is Jerry from Colorado. Had a question. How do you deal with a wife who believes that she is the super warrior in all things? She spends more time on Facebook. It's kind of along the lines of the lady who called and said that she had ruined her marriage, and that's what I feel a lot about. She posts things on Facebook that says, well, whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. So I can say both of us have hurt each other greatly in the past years. I think it's time we both made progress, but she stands in this thinking that she's the super person. She chooses what she can, what she will and what she won't do. She believes that she can choose whether she wants to, what she wants to do with me. And I have to ask permission for a kiss. I don't know what else to do. And I'm also asking if you could comment on 1 Corinthians 7:33 and 34. Thank you.
Okay, so that's interesting. Once again, I'll go back and kind of summarize. His wife and himself, they've hurt each other. And in the past, she's now taken kind of the attitude of, sounds like she doesn't really need him. She can do everything on her own.
You could thank the feminist movement for that.
She's a tough chick, right? She's a tough chick. I can do it all on my own. She quoted Friedrich Nietzsche about whatever doesn't kill me makes me stronger. And I'll talk about that in a minute. It has a little bit of mind over matter. It's like, you know, I am woman, hear me roar. And he's asking for permission for a kiss. So there's a lot of things going on here, and they wanted us to comment on a passage in 1 Corinthians. I'll talk about that as well. So what's your thought about this before I get going?
Well, I have a lot of thoughts. I always look at the culture. I look at how Satan undermines marriages, how Satan went to Eve and not Adam. Okay?
Right.
To entice, to lie, to twist, distort, you know, to get Eve on his team.
Oh, we're going to get a lot of comments on this. Why did he go to Eve and not to Adam?
Well, because Eve holds the influence. Okay. That's one. Okay. She holds the God-ordained influence. Satan didn't have to go to Adam. He knew if he went to Eve, that Eve would eventually go to Adam and influence him.
He could get both of them that way.
He could get both of them. Now, as women, we're more easily deceived. And I could already hear women coughing up, you know, vomit in their mouth because I just made that statement. And I was one of those women who had that exact same thought. Just because Eve was deceived doesn't mean that I'm going to be deceived. Okay, now I've been walking with Jesus for over 2 decades now. I have been deceived, okay? I could let go of my pride and say, yeah, I was totally deceived in that area. But as a baby Christian, I was disgusted over finding out that, you know, the female was the one who was deceived.
Well, and you know, there are going to be a lot of, well, I won't say a lot, but there could be some guys that are going to be jerky about this and say, see, you know, that's why you're less than I am. That's not what this means at all, okay? God has created a husband and a wife to fulfill two parts of that oneness.
Right.
And so if you think, as a husband, if you think that because a woman is deceived more than a man, that you're all this and that and she's not, you got screw loose in your head, okay? Because God's...
I'm refraining from calling him an idiot right now.
Well, because here's the deal. I mean, God has made men to get knocked down and get back up again, okay? He's made men in a certain way because they're to provide for the home.
And protect.
And protect.
Right.
Okay?
That's not my role.
Right.
As a wife.
Right. And so, overall, a man's not going to be as apt to be deceived as a gal just based on what God made him to do.
Right.
Okay? But a woman's intuition and her influence and such, a man doesn't have any concept of that almost. I mean, it's just like oblivious to that, where you bring in a strength to the marriage that that no guy can bring. So,
well, and as a woman's influence, how God made that, it makes you a better man, because you go back to Adam and Eve, and God saw that he was alone. He needed the woman. Woman is there to help him develop into a better man, but not every woman knows how to use her influence to the glory of God. Not every woman knows that she has been given a God-ordained influence. You know, some have just buried it. Some have misused it. And the men today are just kind of like, okay, the Bible says that I'm to love her like Christ loved the church. But women aren't necessarily reciprocating their side of it. A man today going off to work is normal.
Right.
If a man doesn't go off to work, we're like, what's wrong with him? Okay.
Okay.
We would be shocked to say, well, you know, he's going to go let his wife take care of all the business side, all the financial side, just to go toil the field and then come home and expect a nice dinner and the dinner cooked and the kids cared for and so forth. So it would just seem really odd to have a man who stays home. I know that happens. I know sometimes it happens for unusual circumstances with health or disabilities. Okay? Right. But usually you don't have a man who just wants to stay home and tend to the house and tend to the kids. That's just like an anomaly there.
Right. We're kind of built to go conquer something.
You guys are. So in this case, when you have a woman, a wife in particular, who isn't kind of doing her role of a wife, which is very common, very common, okay? A woman will get bent out of shape if a husband is sitting on his can way too long and not working because he's waiting to land his perfect job, okay? She'll get bent out of shape. But if the wife isn't then being loving and respectful in today's culture, it's like too bad, so sad, you know?
Well, and that's kind of the solution. It sounds like she's kind of gotten hurt and she's like, I don't need you. You know, I'll stay married to you, but I don't need you. Okay. Right. He has to ask for a kiss. There's a broken relationship. She quoted a German philosopher by the name of Friedrich Nietzsche. And you hear, and it sounds like a great quote. And it's basically, whatever doesn't kill me makes me stronger. Okay.
There's a song out, something like that. I think okay. There's lyrics in that.
Maybe so. But the thought of that is, you know, I'm going to overcome by my mind and I'm going to get stronger. Well, that sounds all well and good, but here's what 2 Corinthians says. It says, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God. Okay? And frankly, there are a lot of things that don't kill us and make us weaker. Okay, so you have to go a little deeper. You know, it's nice to quote something like that, but Nietzsche hated Christians, okay? He was against Christianity, so I don't know that I'd go around just spouting, as a Christian, his philosophy. I think what this guy needs to do, number one, is go to his wife and repair that relationship if he can.
So how does he do that?
Well, he needs to, first of all, apologize to her, and it goes like this. I've hurt you. I know I've hurt you. And I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Okay, now every guy and gal, every husband and wife should learn those lines right there. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Now she might say, no, I don't forgive you. And he can say, okay, but I am. And I'm going to treat you differently because you don't deserve, in spite of how she treated him. Okay, because this is not, we do not promote a tit for tat marriage. Well, I'm going to treat you good if you treat me good. No, you have to act like Jesus and treat her the way she's supposed to be treated and make sure that she understands and sees that. And you can point it out in subtle ways. You can say, hey, did you see that? I fixed your car because I love you. You know, I brought in that, or I did this, right? You know, I want to make sure that you got your tea because I love you. There's nothing wrong with doing that. She might start thinking, you know, he's doing this stuff because he loves me. But she's got to soften up before she's going to warm up to him again.
Well, and she doesn't feel the need for him.
Okay? Well,
and in marriage, you don't lose yourself. If a wife or a husband loses themselves in the marriage, there's a problem there. Okay. But there should be a spirit of interdependence in the marriage. You know, I'm not codependent, but I'm not independent. Okay.
Right.
Neither. There's an interdependence there.
You can function without me, and I can certainly function without you.
But we come together better together.
If I come home and you're not here, I just kind of stand in a daze. I'm like, where's my best friend? Where are you? Come home. Be with me.
Because we should be better together. Ecclesiastes 4:9-10 say two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. And that's, I see marriage being a gift from God. Okay, but when you don't know how to do marriage God's way, and in the culture that we live, that the 21st century woman lives in today, if she's making her own way, she's got her own paycheck, her own bank account, there's really no need for you.
Whoops.
Unless I need you to change my tire because I don't want to. Unless I need you to put more money in my bank account because I've spent all mine on Starbucks and new outfits and so forth. So there's this unbalanced view that women of today have in marriage. And it's just like, there's so many double standards that it's just like, that's not right. You know, what are you bringing to the marriage as a wife?
What would you recommend he do?
Everything you said is trying to soften her heart because her heart is hard towards him.
And it might not, it's not going to happen in a week or a month,
but
he's got to start treating her, hopefully in the way that he treated her when they were dating.
Right. Right. I wouldn't become some sissy of a man by all means, where it's just like, just walk all over me, where I have to ask permission to kiss you. It's just like, you know, I have more self-esteem and self-respect, you know. Right.
And he should never have to ask for a kiss. He should go take a kiss. And if she moves away, then say, okay, you know, and go about his business, still treating her lovingly. It's going to take some strength to do that, but at some point...
They need to have a conversation. Do you want this marriage or not? Because we're just living in a cold war. I mean, it is not a marriage. It is... We're two roommates, and she gets whatever she wants, and she could treat me poorly.
Right, and he's gotten the message that she doesn't need me.
Right, right. So he has to have a conversation and say, hey, hon, on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate our marriage? Okay. It's a 1. Unless he's given her money, then she might rate it as a 3.
You know, and you know, that's something we do when we counsel other couples. But I don't know if we've ever mentioned that on the podcast. Maybe we'll mention it now.
Yeah, I think we've said it.
Well, I'm going to say it again.
Okay.
Okay? But this question, if you want to strengthen your marriage on a weekly basis, ask your partner this question, whether you're the husband or the wife, ask them this question once a week. Hun, how would you rank our marriage on a scale of 1 to 10, our relationship? Now, you're not asking them to rate you, okay? I'm not saying, hey, how would you rate me? How would you rate our relationship on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the highest?
Well, because no one got married to have their marriage at a 1.
Right. Okay? And this is how it goes. The wife says, well, I'd rate it probably about a 3. Okay? And the guy will say, well, I'll rate it about a 6. Okay? Or whatever. Normally, the husband rates it higher than the woman because he doesn't need as much emotionally as she does. Okay? But anyway, whatever the number is, it doesn't matter who's higher. If you said to me that I rated about a 3, husbands, this is what you say to your wife. You say, a 3. Okay. What one thing can I do to make it a 4 or a 5? Do not go for the 10. Okay? Just say, just move it.
And a wife has to remember, don't expect a 10 when you're at a 1.
Right. Move it 1 point. So what can I do to make it a 4 or a 5? And you'll say,
Whatever it is that I feel that it I need.
She'll say, I wish you would just, every time the trash gets full, if you'd take it out.
But I don't give you a laundry list because you can't handle that.
It's one thing.
It's just one thing.
What one thing can I do to take it up a notch?
Because what's happening is you're changing, as a couple, you're changing your marital habits.
Right.
Because we all have bad marital habits. Most of us don't even know how to have a good relationship with another human being because who really teaches us those relationship skills? So we come into marriage on this cloud of emotion. Oh, I'm in love. And then all of a sudden that cloud leaves and it's just like, now we're at odds. Now we're not speaking and I don't know how to handle this. Why is he so rude to me? Why is she so distant towards me? So we don't know how to gather up those good relational skills because we've been too busy practicing bad marital habits.
Right, right. But this exercise will help you develop exactly what your spouse needs. You might say, if you would just open my door for me every time, that would really make me feel loved. That'd move us to a 4. Okay, I can do that. Okay, and then she would do that with me. If you do that on a weekly basis, you're going to see your numbers start to rise, and then you're going to start saying, hey, how would you rank our relationship? I think it's a 9. Very cool. What would make it a 10? Okay, but if you're up there in the higher numbers, you're going to have a great relationship. And this is a practical exercise that can help you do that.
Well, and it's a simple exercise. What it requires is 2 willing hearts. Okay. And in this case, to have a man who is contacting us, his wife, as I'm looking at it through the lens of a wife, she's like emotionally checked out.
Right.
So that's really hard for a husband to win back a wife who has a hard heart towards her husband.
Well, and what's so great for husbands is that we're pretty clueless a lot of the times to begin with. So if you just tell me one thing I need to do that would fulfill a need for you, that's easy. Now I got a list.
Right.
You know, now I don't have to figure it out or read your mind, which is ridiculous. Okay. I got a list of all I got to do is do these things and she's going to feel good about our relationship.
Right. Right. But the wife has to remember it's one thing.
It's one thing.
It's one thing. It's not a list of, you know, you need to make sure you bathe Johnny every night and make sure you bathe him this way because now you've crossed over into parenting your husband. Okay. And all romance and kindness and you feeling cherished will go straight out the window the minute a wife starts parenting her guy. So that's where you have to be very careful to just present the one thing that you need, maybe emotionally in that moment. As I know, as a young mom, mine would have been like, oh, it would be so great if you could just put the boys to bed, you know, but I'm not sitting there on the sideline critiquing how you put them to bed.
Well, and many times married partners they're silent. Okay. The wife might be thinking, I wish you would do this, I wish you would do that, but she doesn't say anything.
Right.
And he's saying,
she thinks that reading my mind is a form of communication.
Right.
It's not.
Or the guy might think, man, I just love if she made my favorite meal. Okay? But he doesn't say it. Okay? And that reading your mind stuff is just ridiculous.
So usually you've got reading your mind and ridiculous expectations are 2 killers of marriage. Okay? So when the marriage starts to go stale or cold, you have to, you're back at like a one. And it's just like, how do I rebuild it? How do I bring back life into this marriage? You have to start with asking your spouse, do they want a better marriage?
Okay. And here's,
start there, because they might say, no, I don't. I like it just the way it is, because they're in charge. They're ruling the roost, and everything is done their way because we're bowing down to them. Okay. That is wrong.
Okay. So here's what I want everyone to understand. If you are a Jesus committed husband and a Jesus committed wife, any two believers, okay, any two believers that are committed to the Lord can have a great marriage. Now, you might be thinking, yeah, I don't like his personality, or I don't like her personality, or I don't like how he does. Look, if you're both committed to Jesus, then you can have a great relationship in spite of personalities, in spite of preferences, all that stuff, okay? Because that puts Jesus at the center, okay? Hey, real quick, I want to just, he wants us to comment on 1 Corinthians 7, 33 and 34. I'm actually going to start from 32 and I'll read it real quick. I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife. And his interests are divided. And the unmarried or betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. But the married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband. Overall, this is just a comment or an observation of, look, if you're not married, you don't have any distractions. Mm-mm. You can focus on the Lord, whether you're male or female. Once you get married, then it's talking about, you know, it says anxious about worldly things. Well, it means that you now have someone to consider.
Right.
And you have to consider your spouse, your husband, or your wife. And so a lot of times it might take the place, and not necessarily take the place, but you have other concerns other than just about serving the Lord. Now, you can serve the Lord within that marriage, which God expects. But you don't have a single focus. That's really all that passage is talking about. Do you have any other comments about that?
Well, yes. We want to please our spouse because you're putting them first. But the flip side is making sure that they're not put in the place of Christ.
Right. So what did I tell you when we were getting married?
To please the Lord and you'll, or to serve the Lord and I'll be served, or to please the Lord and you'll be pleased. And I'm like, I have no idea what you're even talking about. I don't even know what any of that looks like.
You get it now?
Well, sure, I get it now. But if there's somebody saying, yeah, I don't get it, I'm raising my hand because I don't understand that. You know, that could be Jerry. What does this mean? You know, that it's just, you have to figure out, is my spouse expecting me to worship them and bow down to their ridiculousness? And in this instance, there's some of that that's taken place. You know, right. In this situation.
Right.
And this is just the husband dealing with a wife like that. But I have email after email after email of women who are dealing with their husbands who think they're mini messiahs. And they're kind of like bowing down to them. That it's just like, no, you are always a daughter of the king or a son of the king first and then a spouse second. Okay. That order is key. If you don't have that order right, then your marriage is either a spouse-centered marriage or a self-centered marriage or a child-centered marriage. Okay? So, yes, we are to consider our spouses, but we don't bow down to our spouses.
Absolutely. Absolutely, so, because you and I make crummy gods.
Right. And, you know, if you're going into marriage thinking that he's all that and then some, great, that's wonderful, but he will fall.
Right.
Just like she will fall. She'll let you down. He'll let you down. But that's what grace is for. But grace is for the repentant. Okay. And that's what's key. Because a lot of times spouses aren't repentant. They might act like they are because they got caught at something or because another spouse has said, I'm not okay with this. Okay, I'll repent. But then they don't change their ways. So that's another podcast.
It is. Hey, before we go, can I have a kiss?
Yes, of course. I'm Jolene Engel at JoleneEngel.com.
I'm Eric Engel. You can find me at ericandjolene.com.
Until next time.